Welcome, everyone, to the Awoka in English podcast. This is your host, Gabriel Aguero. Today, I'm joined by a guest who appeared on the podcast once a very, very, very long time ago. Rodrigo, journalist for Peacock, NBC's streaming service. Rodri, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, I'm doing well, man. Just kind of counting down the days, the hours until Sunday. Trying to keep up with the news, but also like not read too much, because the more you read, the more just like the
nerves hit you.
Yeah, man, the craziness levels just get to such a ridiculous level. Like just on any given week, but on Superclásico week, it just spins out of control. So I'm kind of like just threading the needle between, you know, keeping up but not
overdoing. Not too much. Yeah. No, honestly, I do the same. Since I've had the account, I don't know how many Superclásicos I've covered. Jesus Christ. Probably, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 Superclásicos. And I don't know if our followers have noticed, but on Superclásico week, I tweet a lot less. Because I'd like to, same thing. I just get too nervous. And with the everything that happened, everything circulating in the 2018 Superclásico and the Copa Libertadores final, where I literally didn't sleep. I was up for like 24 hours. It was, oh my God, it was a mess. I don't want to do that again. Obviously, the game isn't nowhere near as important as that one. But the Superclásico week is different. And Riquelme always said that it's different. You live it different. I think, what is that famous quote from him? He said that he never took naps except during Superclásico week.
It makes
something,
sense.
It's something just along those lines. He wanted to be really rusted.
Yeah, and also just it kind of helps you just, you know, get there faster, right? I mean, because it's tough. Yeah.
So today we are going to sort of recap the match against Estudiantes. I know there was no podcast after the loss against Huracan. There's not much to say with that game. It was probably the worst game under the Batalla era. I don't know if Rodri would agree with me with that one.
Yep.
There was literally no positives, no game fluidity, absolutely nothing. Nothing. So we're not really going to talk about that game. Obviously, Boca lost 1-0 in Bonera. But we're going to talk about the positive game. Estudiantes, we won 1-0 away in La Plata. Let me go ahead and read the lineup, and then, Rodri, I'll go ahead and ask you, you know, your thoughts on the game. So we had Rossi in goal, Advíncula, Izquierdos, Rojo, Fabra, Medina, Paul Fernandez as the number 5, the center defensive mid. That was probably the biggest change with respects to the game against Huracan and the previous games before that. Ramírez, Molinas, Vázquez, and Villa. So, Rodri, tell me, what did you like about the lineup? What did you like about the game? Any players stick out to you?
Obviously, it was Paul Fernandez is like just coming out party, you know, as the defensive midfielder, something that Bataglia had been kind of testing throughout, like different parts, especially second halves of some games. There were some reports that he'd been trying that in practice a lot, and you know, finally he, especially after the Huracan game, it felt like something needed to change. You know, we'd been you know, as fans complaining about Rolón, then we kind of got him out of the rotation, but then, you know, we Campuzano has been mainly the guy for Bataglia, and Campuzano, even though he's better, significantly better than Rolón, he's still very limited in what today's football requires in terms of a center mid. You can't just be a defensive presence.
Yeah, you gotta going be able forward, to, he definitely struggles. Yeah.
You gotta be able to be part of breaking the press when you're coming out of your own goal. It kind of the genesis of any offense starts at his position, and Campuzano just wasn't cutting it, even though I thought he was performing fairly well defensively, but you know, offensively he just wasn't doing it. So Bataglia had played Paul Fernandez against Central Córdoba in Copa Argentina, and obviously a much, you know, weaker rival, but he figured that after the Huracan, when the team sort of hit rock bottom, something needed to change. So he played Fernandez there, and Fernandez was just absolutely outstanding, just on offense and on defense. He was everywhere. I mean, he
masterclass performance.
Yeah. He even made Medina and Ramírez better. He had a really good connection with Adam Molinas, and it was just a masterful performance from a player that, you know, some of us thought, hey, you know, why would you spend $2 million for a guy that is going to be a free agent in 6 months? And That's the answer. That's why you spend $2 million on a player like that, because he's worth
yeah.
it.
Yeah. It just reminds me of the Superliga, the 1920 Superliga that we won with Miguel Ángel Russo. A lot of people forget. A lot of people don't like to give Paul Fernandes enough credit for that team, but I think he performed very well, and it's just the same Paul Fernandes that I remember from that Superliga. Me personally, I'm a huge Campuzano fan. I think when he first started getting those minutes, I think it was probably with Alfaro, if I'm not mistaken. I liked Campuzano. Going forward, he was actually really, really good. And I remember years ago when he first started, I don't know, he had 10, 15 games under his shoulder with Boca. I even dared to say that going forward, he was better than Barrios. Barrios is obviously outstanding defensively.
Yeah.
His primary characteristics aren't offensively. Defensively, he's really solid, and he's better than Campuzano in that sense. But I thought, you know, Campuzano gave us this mix of a really good, solid defensive midfielder, but he could really pick out his passes as well. He could find his teammates really quick. He can break the lines with a couple of passes. But I haven't been seeing that from him recently. I would advocate for him on Twitter all the time. He's one of my favorite players. He still is. But this Paul Fernandes from Estudiantes, the match against Estudiantes, definitely gave us a different field. I'm not sure if we're going to discuss this later, obviously, when we start previewing the Superclásico shortly. I'm not sure if he's going to go with Paul Fernandes solely as a number five. He might want to do like a double pivot, a 4-2-3-1, which is obviously a lot of speculation with that, a 4-3-1-2. I don't know the formation that Battaglia is going to opt for, but that's something that we could save for a little bit later. Talk to me about the defense, Rodri, because I remember I tweeted after the game, defense is really, really shaky. Iquierdos wasn't performing, or he hasn't at all this year been performing up to par. Neither has Rojo. Fabra still has the same defensive issues that he's had for years since playing for us. Offensively, obviously, he's great. And I thought there was a really good connection between Paul Fernandes and Fabra off on the left flank. I would say 80% of our attacks against Estudiantes came from that left flank. But defensively, we continue to struggle. Defensively, we're really poor. I'm surprised that, what's Estudiantes coach's name? Zielinski. I'm surprised. I mean, I'm sure he practiced it throughout the week prior to the game against Boca. But in set pieces, defending set pieces, we've been nothing short of atrocious.
Yeah.
And I didn't get that same feel against Estudiantes. They weren't too threatening off the set piece. There might have been one or two. I think a couple of corners that an Estudiantes player won the header. But talk to me about the defense. What do you think? What do you think Battaglia could change? Because it's been really, really shaky.
Yeah, there's the bad news is that there's no easy fix. I mean, you have both the defense, like structurally, and as a unit, hasn't been performing. And then you look at the individual levels of all four of those guys. You know that the defense that played against Estudiantes is supposed to be the starting unit. And yeah, I would say both Rojo and Izquierdos had a really bad tournament so far. And then what you have with Fabra and lately at Vincula is that they've been amazing going forward, but they just haven't been able to to shut down the flanks, and it's been a problem, and it's been a problem also because, you know, Rossi is not great, you know, in the air. Yeah. But he was amazing against Estudiantes. I've never seen a more secure, like commanding version of Agustin Rossi.
Especially after that penalty save.
Yeah, yeah. On Christmas, I mean, well, like the penalties, it's becoming something where, like, you know, you just like, you know, like obviously you get pissed off anytime there's a penalty against Boca. But like now you're like, whoa, man. I mean, there's you know, you can't expect Rossi to stop every single one of them. But like you're a little more confident. You're like, man,
yeah,
I'm pissed off. But like let's hold off. Let's see if this guy can do it again. And he did it again. Obviously, Leandro Diaz just did just an awful like shot. But I mean, but Rossi is just, he's so confident right now. There was a there was a report, I think, that said that Rossi told Marcos Rojo to make sure that to go and clear it after he stopped it. You know, like he knew he was gonna stop it already. Yeah. So
he studies the players. Yeah. Obviously, there's a really deep rooted studying between him and the goalkeeper coach before every game.
Yeah, and it also, like, at some point when you stop enough of them, it becomes a little of a bit of a mental edge, you know, because the shooter also knows that he's really good at it. So I think Rossi helped a lot in terms of just giving the defense a little more security, but that back four is just not performing. And on top of everything, which Izquierdos had to come out with an injury. He had to end up getting surgery, and he's going to be 2 to 3 months out. So now we're really going to see what Carlos Zambrano and maybe even Jorge Figal are able to do when they play. Because also what people need to remember is that Boca wasn't going to have Izquierdos and Rojo for most of the group stages of the Copa Libertadores because they're suspended after the craziness that happened, you know, against Mineiro. So I think it's not the best way to get into a Super Clásico. We're not showing a lot of security. I am not a fan of Zambrano, but I do think it's appropriate that he plays on Sunday. It looks like he will be coming in for Izquierdo. Rojo is like having some muscle issues, but it looks like he's going to play as well. And I think it's a risky strategy for Battaglia, but man, after so many of these games, I mean, I would rather just like lose like 4-2 than lose like 2-0 or something. I think Boca needs to go forward and just like trade punches and just let's make the best team win. You know, I think we're all kind of sick of this, like just being conservative, but not really being secure on defense. So I think it's a good call for Battaglia too, if he keeps his team.
Yeah, I agree. So as we slowly transition over to previewing the Super Clásico, I remember I'm going to say one last thing with the game against Estudiantes. Sebastián Villa, I think, played an excellent match. Looking at his performances this year, you know, I think Villa works out best when he has tons and tons of space in front of him. Somebody just threads a through ball. He runs in behind the back line and pins it in, rounds a keeper, and shoots at an empty goal. Kind of like the prime example would be the match against Alosivi, where Boca ended up winning 2-1. I think both goals were from Villa. Tons and tons of open space, and Villa excelled thoroughly. When a team gets in a tight defensive block, I feel like Villa struggles tremendously. And we saw that against Huracan. Against Estudiantes, we saw the same thing, but he did very well. He did very well. In terms of the goal, I mean, it was a great effort by Molinas to pick out. I think it was Villa. Yeah, it was Villa.
Yeah.
Very nice through ball. Molinas with his through passes. Same with Paul Fernandez. Those passes are absolutely phenomenal. They drive me nuts. I'd rather those passes than the goal itself. I think that's the most beautiful thing.
Me too. And Romero excels at that as well.
Him too, yeah. All three of them. All three of them have a passing ability, a passing range that gives our team a lot of lots of strength. But anyways, you know, Villa did really well. He cuts on the outside, sends in a cross to Advíncula, and Advíncula does well to header it in. So a very nice build-up with the goal. I think Villa did really nice. Previewing the match against Estudiantes, I got a lot of followers commenting saying Villa again, why this and that, blah blah blah. I think overall in 2022 he's played every game very well except for the match against Huracan. Even against Independiente, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, earlier he played a pretty solid game. Against Rosario Central he was good. Obviously against Andalucía he was good. Against Colón he was good. In the preseason tournament, we mostly saw Ceballos. So a lot of people were expecting Ceballos, and that's what the rumors were hinting, that Ceballos would take that starting spot. But it looks like Villa has beaten Ceballos to that starting spot, and so far, you know, he's done a good job in retaining that position. So it looks like he's going to play against River. So let's get into the Super Clásico. There's a couple of latest reports from today. It looks like I'm going to read a potential 11. We have Rossi in goal, Advíncula, Zambrano replacing the injured Izquierdos with a fifth metatarsal fracture. As Rodri already said, he had surgery and he's going to be out for 2 to 3 months. Figal played today in the scrimmage, but it's going to be Rojo. So Advíncula, Zambrano, Rojo, Fabra, Medina, Paul Fernandez as a double pivot number five, I guess I could say. Villa. And the questions arise here. Is it going to be Molinas or Romero? Ramirez off to the left. I'm sure he'll alternate with Villa back and forth. And up front, Vázquez or Benedetto. So I want to get your insight, Rodri. Who would you opt for? Molinas or Romero? Benedetto or Vázquez? I guess it all depends on, you know, in terms of their fitness level. Are they going to arrive at the game in terms of Benedetto and Romero, who didn't play against Estudiantes? Are they going to be at 100%, 90%? At 80%, as a lot of people are saying, if they're not going to be 100%, let Molinas and Vázquez start. And then with a tired rear defense around the 60th, 65th minute, put in Romero Benedetto. What would you do,
Rodri? Yeah, I'm Luis Vasquez's biggest fan. Him and I have there's a special spot in my heart for him and Aaron Molina's. But I think if and again it goes, it depends on where they are. If it's like 80%, 90%, I think I would play Benedetto. I think this is the type of game where you would sort of like risk him. Obviously, like they would have to assess the risk of him just getting re-injured. But I would play Benedetto. If he's, let's say, 80%, I think I would play him, knowing that if he doesn't look good in the first, I don't know, 30 minutes, I would be quick to pull him and to put Vasquez back in. As for Romero, I'd say that with Aaron Molina's just having, such coming off such a great game, and Romero not being 100%, and Romero hasn't really been playing much. I mean, he played a lot since he started with Boca, but he didn't play a lot in the last semester. I would stay with Molina. So I would play Molina's and I would play Benedetto. And then you kind of see, you know, what one thing that I think Battaglia, an adjustment that he could make is being having a quicker hook in terms of just, you know, when someone's not performing, you know, it's just not their day. It's very rare that a Boca player has a really bad first half and then they kind of like pull through. You know, it's like it's usually like if they're having a bad game, they're having a bad game, or they're gonna get it worse. You know,
Sadio is a really good example.
Yeah, exactly. So if Benedetto plays but he doesn't look good physically, like he's not moving around well, or if like, you know, I wouldn't be shocked at you know, Diaz and those guys targeting him and hitting him in the ankle and you know, and just kind of trying to get him out of the game. You know, if Benedetto's not cutting it, I would just be quick to put Vasquez back in. But yeah, I would do that. And then I'm very I think you hinted at this, but I'm very curious to see how, like, where they kind of like stand and play on the field, because it's, you know, if it's just going to be like a double pivot, like you said, with Medina and Paul, or if Paul is going to be like in the kind of like in the middle of the field and then just kind of going back, like kind of placing himself between Zambrano and Rojo. I think the position of Villa, it says a lot, because if he's on the right, then that means that Medina can kind of like just kind of shift a little more to the middle. Now, if he's on the left, then Medina has to just kind of, you know, be wider, and Advíncula has to like kind of position himself a little higher. You know, there's a lot of really, really cool machinations that could happen. But I think for the most part, Battaglia seems to have found his 11, with obviously Benedetto, when he's healthy, he's going to be the number 9. And then it looks like Romero is still the number 10 once he's fully healthy. I just don't know that he is right now.
Me personally, obviously, like you said, it all depends on percentages. But if they're 80 to 90%, 100% obviously would be ideal. I think I would go with Romero and Benedetto. Okay. I think I would go with both of them. I love Vasquez too, absolutely. And I think it's an excellent idea to have Benedetto play 65 minutes. And with a tired rear defense, I think Vasquez does a lot better of a job battling it out with defenders. We saw that preseason quite often.
Yeah.
Rather than Benedetto, put Vasquez in against a tired rear defense, and I think he'll definitely score if we could provide, obviously, enough service. Romero, obviously, it's not a good measure. The Copa Argentina match is not a good measure. But I think his passing ability, his passing range, I think, you know, his international experience, just his experience all around, I think we should use him. I think we should use him from the start, along with Benedetto. I imagine from what I'm seeing, the information that I'm reading and the videos that I'm seeing that the club's uploading and pictures, it looks like Benedetto's going to start. That's my gut feeling. It looks like Benedetto's going to start. I think the biggest question is Molina's or Romero. I would personally go with Romero. Although I wouldn't be upset if it was Molina's either, because, you know, obviously young, very talented, passing ability is excellent, and he's played tons of Superclásicos throughout the youth division. So that's personally, you know, my thoughts on that. I don't know if usually during the Superclásico, Gallardo and whatever Boca manager play this hidden secret game of what the starting lineup is going to be, and they don't release too much information, and the journalists surrounding the game from both sides sort of stay quiet. Gallardo likes to play that game big time and likes to surprise very last minute.
Yeah.
Whatever. So maybe Battaglia might do the same thing and just wait to see if he is able to figure out some sort of indication from the River end and what sort of lineup they're going to provide or put out, obviously. But it's going to be a fun game. It's going to be a fun game. I'm really confident. I think to close this off, where are you going to be watching the game, Rodri? Are you going to be watching it at home with Boca fans, your family, and your River fans?
Yeah, I'm most likely going to watch at home. I have my best friend. He's a Colón de Santa Fe fan. So he's, I think he gets off work, like an hour or so before the game. So he's going to come over. We're going to probably grill a little, some choripanes, just something simple. Like I'm not a huge expert at the grill, but, you know, we'll eat something. It's some nice weather here in Southern California. And then before that, I think it's Real Madrid, Barcelona. It's like they play back to back. So it may just be like a full, you know, football Sunday and just, you know, watch, you know, as much as I can. Hopefully Barcelona, gets a win, makes me happy going into the Super Clásico, and we'll see how that goes, man. But it's exciting. I just want Boca to belong in the game, you know, obviously
to not get totally outplayed.
Yeah, exactly. Or to just be completely like scared and, you know, throughout the full 90, you know, I think if Boca is able to just, you know, try their game, obviously, you know, River is, you know, they're a well-oiled machine. I mean, they may not be at their best, but they're playing pretty well. They have, you know, amazing players at every position. I think Barco is an excellent reinforcement for them. I just think that if Boca tries to do their thing and tries to impose their will, and there's nothing, there's no really nothing really stupid from Boca players, which can happen. You know, we saw with Marcos Rojo.
Contain yourselves. Think.
Yeah, exactly. You know, we have some players with tendencies to do stupid stuff at certain moments, you know. So, hopefully, you know, Fabra is at his most really like focused. And then, I trust that Villa will be able to do a lot of damage behind both Rojas and Casco. He's going to be
really gotta take advantage of those spaces.
Yeah, he's played well against River before. He scored against them, even going back to 2018. So I think and then obviously Benedetto's going to be super pumped.
I can imagine. Yeah, face
River again, and then obviously River is gonna give us our best as well. So it hopefully will be a great game, you know, with lots of goals, and I just hope we come out on top, man.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, out of everything you just said, the one thing that stood out to me is, you know, our players doing stupid things. I feel like for the last, I don't know, 4 or 5, 6 Clásicos that I've covered with the Boca en English Twitter account, I always tweet, we constantly shoot ourselves in the foot. We constantly beat ourselves. There's always something dumb that we do in the game. With the last game, obviously, being Rojo's red card, and even worse, two yellow cards in quick succession. I think it was within a minute or two that, you know, he was booked, and then 2 minutes later he was sent off. It's just infuriating. So hopefully nothing like that happens. Hopefully it stays 11 versus 11. It's a great game, and we score one more goal than they do. I personally will be going to – I'm going to be heading out to Manhattan. There's a new Boca consulate that's opening up on Sunday with the game, awesome, obviously. Man. I'm going to be watching the game at – what is it called? The bench, I think it is. It's a facility that has an indoor soccer field outside, like a little small pitch, the ground. Nice. It's called the Ground, New York City. I'll send you a picture of it later. Yeah. But they have a little futsal field on the roof, and they have a futsal field on the inside. And they also have a bar/restaurant on the inside. So we're going to be watching the game there with my dad, my two brothers, us four. We're all Boca fans. Unfortunately, my other brother and my mother, San Lorenzo fan, so they don't really care. they didn't get the invite, obviously. I didn't invite them for this. Yep. They're not allowed. Rodri, to close this out, mind giving a prediction? What do you think the game's going to end?
Let's just say it's going to be 2-1 Boca.
I was going to say the same thing, 2-1 Boca.
Yeah, that's what happens, man.
Yeah, hopefully. Rodri, anything else before we close this out?
No, man, I'm just hoping that Battaglia doesn't do anything crazy either. I don't want to see Pulpo Gonzalez. I would much rather see Medina than Campuzano. I hear there's an outside shot of Campuzano playing. I think Medina is much more fit and appropriate for the way that Battaglia wants to play. And like you said, you know, just keep it 11 against 11. Hopefully we hear absolutely nothing about the referee, and it's just all the 22 guys on the pitch just deciding the winner. So as long as we get that, and you know, and Boca just tries to do something, you know, I think I'll be satisfied.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree anymore. Rodri, thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully we have you on next week. To our listeners, thank you so much for tuning in, and until next time.